So welcome back for part two of my interview with Masoud Zarabian. Masoud is the CEO of BA Insight. It's a VC-funded company that is going through the transition from a basically on-premise model to a recurring revenue model. And the topic that we're going to be covering with Masoud today is the sales organization and sales compensation. Again, this is a critical issue for on-premise ISVs that want to keep the same sales force or wondering, can we keep the same salespeople? Do we need to change the sales compensation? How do we incentivize our salespeople to at least treat the different offerings on an equal basis? So again, welcome, Masoud. It's good to see you again.
Thank you. Same here.
And I'd like to start off first with just a quick overview of the company, the product, the target market. So I'll turn it over to you.
All right, thank you. So BA Insight started in the SharePoint application market. The original idea was to develop SharePoint application that we sold to IT organizations. And over a period of years, we have transformed ourselves into a combination infrastructure application company where we help people implement SharePoint as a portal. If you look at SharePoint, many use it as a collaboration or content management tool, but at the same time, it has evolved into a platform that can be an integration point for the rest of the infrastructure. And we make SharePoint sticky by having it integrate with other parts of the business. We have 50 connectors out of the box, including connectors to SaaS systems like Salesforce.com, traditional content management systems like Documentum and FileNet, social software systems like Jive. And by doing that, the SharePoint as a portal gives access to all employees of the company, access to all the content. We also help automatically meta tag all that information to help with findability and relevance of information. And then we have applications that run on top of SharePoint that helps with the end user experience. And honestly, at the end of it, our goal is to make it so that when people implement an intranet or a customer portal using SharePoint, that the experience of the end user is similar to the internet experience they have every day of their life, and move it from this search intranet kinds of experience that people have historically to a much better experience. And if you do that well, then the users go there, find information, become more productive, and you know the rest of the story.
Okay. And for the on-premise licenses, what does a typical transaction look like for the end user in terms of the license price and the services needed to implement it?
The combined license, maintenance, and services ends up being approximately $75,000, with majority of that being license and maintenance, at the lower end. At the higher end, if it's an enterprise implementation for a large organization, the license alone can be added about $500,000, and you add another $100,000 to $150,000 to it for services. So it is a traditional perpetual license, large application sale.
So you were brought in to help transform the organization, and you mentioned previously that one of the key transformations is the sales organization. So when you came in, what did the sales organization look like?
To a large degree, field sales organization, very experienced solution salespeople with a background in larger organized companies having sold perpetual license. That's to a large degree what the organization looked like.
How many salespeople did you have, and are you able to share the basics of what the compensation structure is or was for the on-premise solutions?
Yeah, we had about 10 salespeople. In terms of compensation, if you look at the enterprise sales, the salaries run north of 100K, and at Coda people make twice as much. I think if you go and look at enterprise sales numbers across the industries, they've been historically about the same, 100 to 120K base salary, double a quota.
Okay. Yeah, it's a fairly classic then. And as you started to move more towards the recurring revenue model, did you find that you needed to make any changes to your sales organization?
So this is going to surprise you. And the answer is not because of the market being, i.e. cloud versus on-premise, but because of our approach to the market. We decided to look at the market differently and break the market by size of the organization. So we defined the market, for example, companies below 1.5 billion, companies above 5.5 billion. The companies above 5.5 billion be considered to be enterprise. The ones below it is small, medium in a way. although they are all large companies, we decided that we're going to have an inside sales organization because of that. And as a part of what we did, we also decided to change the profile of our salespeople. Given that we are selling to IT, we decided to have people who come with a bigger background in SharePoint, technical knowledge, technical sales. Some actually came from a consulting and sales engineering background as opposed to sales. But those were not because of our hybrid or subscription / cloud strategy. Those were because of understanding of the market and what we felt would be the perfect profile for somebody to sell our kinds of solution to an IT organization.
So are you using the same salespeople to sell the perpetual licenses as recurring revenue models?
Yeah, I am. And everybody tells me that I'm a fool, but I am, and it's working.
Yeah, because that is one of the issues that companies have. Most companies, very many companies that we're talking to, simply don't have the resources or the willingness to set up a kind of a cloud business unit where they hire separate salespeople. So they need to use their existing salespeople. They know the product, they know the market. And then one of the issues and the challenges that comes up is, how do you compensate the salespeople? Salespeople tend to be coin-operated, and they'll go wherever they get the biggest commission. And they're not really excited about collecting a commission on $79 per user per month. They'll go after that perpetual license. And what sometimes will happen is that the salesperson will sit in front of a customer that may have stated a clear preference for a recurring revenue model, but because the commission is much better for the perpetual license, they'll push a customer in a direction that might not be in their best interest. So how do you address that with your salespeople?
So we have done a bunch of things to help with that. So one of the philosophies in terms of implementation of this model is that sales are not as coin operated as everybody says they are. And even if they are, let's not confuse coins with commission. So a portion of our sales compensation is paid to people as a bonus. A bonus that has to do with adhering to the company standards, being a good citizen, doing what the corporation needs from a business perspective, and doing the right thing by the customer, right? And that by itself makes a dent, which is, hey, right, if you go and push somebody to do a license, you're probably not going to get that bonus. And the bonuses are not small. They're actually, 20-25% of the total compensation. So that's one step we took. A second step we took is we give more credit for a SaaS / subscription than you will give for a license. So for example, if you did $1 of subscription, you're probably gonna get 1.5x quota credit as opposed to 1x quota credit. So when you look at the combination of what we have done between the bonus and the credit, it starts getting it to be close enough so that the convenience of the order win, right? Mm-hmm. Getting it done quicker all of a sudden becomes more important than getting it to be larger. And I think people can balance the view by not being so commission centric and sticking with this belief that everybody only looks at commission and start believing that people do try to do the right thing by the customer. And if you as a business also do things so that there's a balance between commission, credit, and quota credit and bonuses, that you can actually manage this and have the same person sell both.
Okay, you've used a little phrase there, said doing things quicker. And one of the compelling benefits of moving to the cloud for a lot of companies is that they feel that it will accelerate the sales process, that it makes the purchase decision a little bit easier. Do you think that the move to recurring revenues will have an impact on the sales cycle? Would this mean that salespeople can drive more volume because they're doing more transactions? Or do you think that the sales process is the sales process regardless?
I think the sales process is the sales process regardless for what we do. However, in those environments where the customer doesn't have a lot of capital budget or is trying to budget, a subscription sale is an easier bite to swallow than a $500,000 perpetual license. So I think there's opportunities financially to accelerate the sales cycle in those cases where the customer is going through budgeting approval process, as opposed to those cases where the customer has decided to go to cloud. If somebody decides to go to cloud, I actually argue that sometimes it can delay things because the cloud may get that whole infrastructure issue may get in the way of buying everything that they need.
Okay. But, go ahead, sir. Go ahead.
So this is a specific, right, to more of an enterprise app. If I go look at the lower end applications where you can download, run a 30-day trial by yourself, then obviously it's going to get faster, because if you have the infrastructure already in place in terms of a cloud to do that, it's a much easier thing to do than having a company host their own servers, download it, password protected, et cetera, et cetera. So I think somewhat depends on the kind of application and the kind of market you're going after.
Yeah, that's a really nice distinction to make, because we're seeing the same thing, that at the lower end, there's a lot more automation in the sales and marketing. It tends to be driven by the consumer that goes on the website and they're taken through a process. Whereas in the enterprise space, as you're describing it, we don't really see a big change. It's going to be an investment decision by a company. They still have to invest in the services. It's a fairly significant decision. And we're not seeing a significant change in the sales cycle, whether it's delivered as a SaaS subscription model or whether it's a capital expenditure through perpetual licenses. But as you are expanding into what is a different business model for the same solution, have you found it necessary to provide any additional training to your salespeople?
Yeah, but it's less about market or sales skill training and more about complexity of a hybrid environment or customer migration or the infrastructure of the customer, right? Mm-hmm. Because you know, if you have been selling perpetual licenses, if you come from a background of on-premise stuff, you know a whole bunch of things about SharePoint and infrastructure and computing and networks, et cetera, et cetera. Now, once you start going to Office 365, SharePoint Online, and how that whole environment works, you need to at least have enough knowledge and lingo to talk to your customer. But equally, you're one who's playing the role of advisor. So you have to be able to work with a customer who's thinking through these things about the pros and cons on one. So a lot of the training that we are doing is around those things, is around Azure. We are starting to have go-to-market strategies for, you know, if somebody wants to implement, for example, search first on Office on SharePoint 2013, right? You know, everybody thinks everybody moved. Actually, no, a lot of people are still sitting back on 2010 and 2007. So if you're trying to do search first now, the traditional way would have been to go implement Office SharePoint 2013 in your environment. But now there's an opportunity of doing the same thing with Azure. Well, if you're trying to do it with Azure, then the salespeople need to understand Azure, they need to understand the pricing in Azure, they need to understand how the thing works so that they can have a conversation with the customer about options. So it's a lot of those kinds of things.
Okay. In a lot of SaaS companies, pure SaaS companies, they make a distinction between hunters and farmers. They have the salespeople that go in are expected to close the subscription, and then they have account managers or customer success managers or different designations for them, but that assume responsibility for the ongoing management of the accounts. The feeling being that the alpha hunters don't really do a good job of maintaining the relationships, and they're not really motivated by the recurring revenue commissions that they might get. Do you see in your company that you will make that distinction, or do you feel that the hunters will also be the account managers?
Well, right now, the size we are, I don't see that as a necessity. In fact, I'll argue with you that your support organization, if they do the thing right, they will take care of the customers. So in our company right now, our customer support organization is responsible for well-being of the customer. They account manage with our services. We have combined our support and service organizations. So pre and post implementation support are reporting to one person, which actually makes life easier because the team then is working on implementing the customer and taking care of them. So I don't see that we actually need the sales account manager in the traditional way that the SaaS companies do it. I don't know if you're ever going to need that, because I'm just of the belief that the job of the salespeople is to find the right customer, sell the right solution to them, make sure they get the right implementation. And after that, it's the job of support and services to take care of the customer, make him a reference, and make sure that they're taken care of, you know. And as you do that, if the customer wants to buy stuff, they'll come back, or our salespeople, as we see it right now, with the hybrid strategy, have the opportunity of going back to the customer and sharing with them hybrid strategy. I also believe that if every year you introduce a new product that lets salespeople to go and cross-sell to existing customers, they'll go back anyway. So that's another part of our strategy, which is just make sure that we have new products coming to the market on a regular basis to get sales guys go back and talk to customers. If for no other reason than, hey, there's something new we have.
Right. Well, this has been terrific. You've provided some great insights on sales strategy, sales compensation in this hybrid world. You've been going through this transformation for a couple of years. You've got a very clear vision of where you're going as a company, and you've taken a lot of the major steps already. What suggestions or recommendations would you have for companies that are, again, at the front end of this transformation process and are looking at the organizational changes that they will have to go through?
Yeah, at the highest level, my recommendation to them is when they make the change, they should follow it into the marketplace. They need, at the senior management level, they need to actually sit on the phone or in conference calls or with the customers as this transformation is happening, so they get a first-hand experience of both the life of the salesperson and the behavior of them, but equally, the customer concerns and what the customer is trying to accomplish. By doing that, you're going to learn a lot more about this psychology of the customer in terms of how they think about this, whether they're conservative or aggressive, and the issues they're facing. And because of that, you're going to be able to come up with plans and ways of helping the sales organization and the rest of the company to support the customer a lot more, and that will help you a lot. Knowing your market and your customer's behavior is going to be the best thing you can do, especially at the early stages of this change.
Well, thank you, Mr. This has been very helpful. We really appreciate your experience, your insights, your very pragmatic, practical advice for ISVs. And I know that this content will be very useful to a lot of the companies that will be viewing this interview. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.